folks. How are you doing? Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Why, Dad over here makes another Fit Food shake with some purple sticks in it.
One purple stick.
I already had one earlier.
Me too.
I was trying to find another shaker. You got one over there, but
that's nasty.
Nasty. I'm not using it. There's no reasons. Anyways, hope you guys have been having a fantastic day today already so far. Staying strong and healthy. Be sure to stay tuned on a lot of the latest episodes and sign up for the weekly newsletter to get updates every single day right to your email from thebrowershow.com, and also to sign up for the newsletter on the website and make sure you're getting your auto ships, and also you're getting your points on the new teamhealthmasters.com with the magnesium brain food product of the week. That will be ending today. I'll let it go a little long. I've had a lot of people asking me if it's going to change this morning. I'll probably change it in the afternoon because a lot of people are wanting to grab another can of it with the magnesium brain food.
That's a great price.
It's a great price, great product, over 15% off. So be sure to take advantage of it. And start off with kind of a funny article. May not be funny for some people. Some people might actually be kind of mad about this article if you paid way too much for it. But apparently Tesla's sitting on thousands of unsold Cybertrucks, and it's not even accepting its own cars as trade-in anymore.
The only people that would take them were Tesla dealers.
Yeah.
Nobody else wanted them.
Well, they were offering the money, but it was like it was such an insulting price. These things were like $100,000, $120,000. I haven't heard some vehicle dealers like GM and Ford were offering somewhere around between $20,000 to $30,000 on trade-in on them. That's a pretty bad hit. Said Tesla can't find buyers for the current backlog of nearly 2,400 Cybertrucks. Not only that, Tesla is allegedly refusing to accept its own Cybertrucks as trade-in. It says it can't sell them, reportedly even forcing some owners to lemon-law their cars instead. It's an ominous sign that the supposed to revolutionize the pickup truck market, revitalize automotives again with the Cybertruck, is not doing that well. A lot of these vehicles, and
this is funny.
It sucks for a lot of people. It said used Cybertruck prices are down 55% this year alone, almost 20% over the last 3 months.
Well, they actually delivered about 46,000 of them, and they said they had over a million that were on pre-order, but apparently people canceled all the orders. And once they saw how ugly the thing was, how many issues they were having with it, and that is one ugly vehicle. But it handles the internal bomb pretty good.
It's light armor for handguns, caliber rounds.
So,
but the thing about it is, it's just, the thing, and I've told everybody this for years, and a lot of people have listened now, the electric vehicle market is not something that you want to invest in if you're buying a vehicle and you want to retain any type of equity. Just,
you know, it's interesting. There's a guy who used to sell cars. His name's Rom.
Yep.
He passed away, but he loved the Mercedes because he said they used to sell them in South Africa. Because of roadside bombs, he said they got a metal plate across. This is back. Yeah, they don't know if they still do this or not.
You know, hard armor though.
But the bottom was so strong you could handle a roadside bomb, a small one.
Really?
Even the original ones. He said that's why they sold so many of them. He loved those cars. So now whether that's still true or not. Now we know we saw that blue one that was all armored up.
Yeah, that one was
the
MG factory. Yeah.
We saw that. You know, the that thing
windows only rolled down like 3 inches, just enough to get your passports out.
And yeah, so and thick. The windows were like 2 inches thick.
Yeah.
The thing weighed like 10,000 pounds, they said. It was crazy.
Now, this is interesting, though, getting into this. It says, you know, China strikes back at Trump with immediate 84% tariffs on all U.S. goods, as 104% tariff was slapped on China yesterday as levies on dozens of countries take effect. China's been the one that's had the retaliatory trade tariffs slapped back on it really quick. China raises tariffs on goods 84%. This is interesting. It's just getting a mess with both of us back and forth.
Well, you know, you got to remember, you know, a lot of stuff is not going to make that big a difference because a lot of stuff coming in from China, you know, costs less than $100.
That's true.
You know, so, but the biggest problem is I was reading an article last night, and they were talking about how in Vietnam alone, where they make tennis shoes, like with Nike, et cetera, there's over 100 pieces to a tennis shoe. I didn't realize all this, including the molding, the tennis shoes, the strings. And they said that they're coming in from all these different suppliers from all over the world and being assembled in Vietnam, and that all their factories are at peak production right now in Vietnam, and that you can't just make these shoes anywhere else because the factories don't exist to do it. We talked about this yesterday. They simply have to be built and spooled up.
Yeah.
And so the same thing is true with Porsche and BMW. And so many of the parts are coming from other parts of the world now, and they don't have the ability to produce the parts locally in Germany any longer because the factories are shut down. I remember a few years they had a giant, basically, steel factory that would melt steel and iron ore and basically turn it into cars and fenders, et cetera, and rolled steel. And they disassembled that entire plant piece by piece and moved it to China. The Chinese bought it and took it to the German plant and moved it to China because they didn't have the technology to build that type of plant in China. But they wanted the German technology, and they moved it piece by piece. And so a lot of things have happened like that all over the world, and we talked about this in depth yesterday, and that you can't just spool back up production of goods, et cetera, in the United States when we don't have the factories here to do it. So what's going to happen here is we're going to have a giant income tax increase in everybody else in the United States as these companies that are manufacturing these products raise prices to offset the tariffs. That's what's going to happen. It's going to definitely affect us from a discretionary income standpoint. And so it's been interesting watching this happen, watching the market in another free fall again today. It's kind of like you started shorting the market last Thursday. You're doing pretty good with it now.
Yeah. It's still pretty sketchy, though. I mean, yesterday, it started up, opened at like, 1,500 points up on the Dow. And then by the time it closed, it was down again.
Another 300. So if you had shorted the market yesterday, you'd be pretty stressed out.
Yeah.
With a 1,400 point
increase. Yeah, but it still ended up closing low. But the thing about it is this market's very strange right now. And with these back and forth tariffs with China, you know, whether or not this is some retaliatory thing back and forth or if this is more stage theater, I'm not 100% sure yet. I'll be completely honest with you. It's almost like this is going back and forth on purpose to try to continually to destabilize everything.
Well, you know, there was a deck of cards out there a few years ago. I know this sounds strange. I mean, you guys have seen them, so I might as well bring up the topic. And Trump was on the deck, and he was the chaos agent.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes, it was way back.
Way back when. And I thought that was interesting. Now, whether he can basically bring back the United States to where it needs to be from an income standpoint, the reason we're pushing these tariffs on all these countries is that we want to increase the revenue, increase the value of the dollar. It's having kind of the opposite effect right now. And, you know, we want to stabilize the reserve currency of the world by doing this. And we want to basically not have to export or not have to pay charges much money in income tax and borrow as much money from the Federal Reserve, which is destroying the value of the dollar. All of this stuff is very important for us right now. We should have done it years ago as far as reciprocal tariffs on these countries if they did not have open exchange with us. I mean, we need to have open markets in which everybody can produce the best product they can produce for the best price they can. Everybody can just ship it back and forth without tariffs. But the problem is at one time, the United States was so competitive that nobody competed against us. That's why they threw all the tariffs on us. And we were still able to compete. And then suddenly, you know, with Clinton, we talked about this the other day, when he basically went to open and gave China most favored status, all these companies decided to ship their products and their manufacturing facilities offshore, and particularly into China. I've got a friend of mine, his name's Mike Cohen, and he basically worked in China for 14 years. And he said some of these factories are literally square miles. They're square miles. The factories are that big. They're square miles. You know, this factory is 2 square miles. This one's 3 square miles. And they cover up, you know, entire, you know, sections of entire cities and out in the country. They're huge. And then they won't even put a doggone wet scrubber on their smokestacks when they're producing electricity, which causes all that pollution. It's horrible what they're doing over there. But again, our manufacturers knew this. Our banks knew this. And that's why they basically outsourced this stuff to slave labor over there. By the way, Kristi Noem has been ripped for a photo where she says a gun barrel had pointed at an officer's head. And it's the worst place possible to point it. Well, first of all, this is just a smear tactic on her. That's all it is.
It is. I saw the photo. Actually, I pulled it up here a second ago. It was totally bogus.
Well, no, because number one, they're saying the desk cover was open on this AR. Therefore, it has to have a round in it. That's stupid.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard about an M4.
No, all you have to do is you can have it empty. Just pull your.
When the dust cover's closed, yeah, it usually means it's chambered because you rack it, tap it, and close the dust cover to make sure you don't get grit inside of it when the gun's hot. This thing's stupid. They're doing a full blitz on her, and she's holding the M4. I'll be honest with you, she doesn't look like she really knows how to operate much with this firearm.
It's hard to run that gun.
But she's not even pointing at the guy's head. You can tell it's not a dimensional photo. It's flat, and she's not even pointing it at him. She's holding it, and you can tell it's a photo op. She's got a plate carrier on, whatever. But this whole theater thing, I saw a lot of people covering this. I just, it's another hatchet job.
It's going to be hard for her to run that gun and have one of those fingernails.
Yeah, that's short barrel. That's SBR. That gun's going to have a little bit of height to it.
Well, you know, Sean Arakis with his nails, so you're going to tear him nails. Yeah. Off. I mean, it was just a photo op. For them to come in there and slam her, I think if Zelensky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the piano playing puppet out of, you know, Ukraine can basically take pictures
of
her.
He can.
I don't see why she can't do it either. And these other two guys, they look like they're contractors. They're with her.
Yeah, they're law enforcement.
Yeah.
You can tell. But it was a photo op for it. It is what it is. But you can tell she's not pointing the weapon at his head. It's just more theater to try to blitz her on something. And one of the craziest things, so I've seen this now, I thought it was kind of like fake news at first when I saw it. But concerned parents of trans kids are being compared to hate groups by Colorado Democrats, simply asking essentially if they'd ask the KKK their opinion as well when they're talking to parents now about this new bill that essentially is going to grant the state the ability to seize children with child protective services if the parents don't go through with gender, basically, transition.
Well, hopefully Trump will see this. You've seen this?
This is
you wild. Know, they've been talking about this for years. And the thing about it is that, you know, this federal government just needs to cut out funding to Colorado if they're going to be doing stuff. Colorado used to be a real bastion of conservatism. And then all these stinking, you know, communists moved in from California, and they have ruined that state.
They have.
Just like with Montana. You know, Montana, when you get into Kalispell, but what's that one city? Or is not Kalispell, it's the other ones.
Whitefish?
No.
I don't talk about Missoula.
Missoula. Yep. I mean, it's just a bastion of liberalism there because they've all come in from this horrible way. And Missoula's got so many people. They pretty much run the elections out of there.
Well, they run the state out of Missoula. Oh, the problem is Montana's way too big to be run by a tiny little liberal city.
You remember that? One night, it was so funny. This is a story. We were up there in the motorhome many years ago, before the podcast even. This is like 14, 15 years ago. And I remember we went into a Walmart in Missoula, and literally 90% of the people in that Walmart were gay. Am I exaggerating here?
No, it wasn't like they're gay, they want to be gay. Like, I really don't care. I can care less about somebody's personal sexual preference. Mm-hmm. But they were like
militant.
Blatantly militant, flamboyant. I'm walking around normal, and I'm getting looked at like I'm basically a piece of steak walking around by everybody. I was like, this is really bizarre.
By these gay dudes, yeah.
Yeah, it was the whole place was just very, very strange.
And then we went to a campground for the RV, and we had made reservations on there, but somebody got in there in front of us, and it was this lesbian couple, and they parked and blocked our RV, so we couldn't even get out of the doggone parking lot.
They parked right in the middle of the road. Of the exit road. They didn't park to either side. It was a pretty wide road. They kept parked right in the middle. And they rolled their windows down, they had their dogs in it, and then they just left the vehicle and went into the ranger station to check in.
And Austin walked back inside after they completed, because they had basically taken the spot that we were supposed to get, and so we were leaving, but we couldn't leave because they
couldn't leave,
us in.
Couldn't get around them.
So Austin went in there and tried to be nice to them, and they blew up on him. And then Austin,
and that was not nice.
Well, Austin explained to them, I guess, in a way,
they
understood, and they moved their vehicle.
Yeah. After that, yeah,
but that's what happens when you get hold of the Butch Dykes. They want to get in a fight all the time. It's insane how they act. It really is.
I don't know why. I was like, they're parked in the middle of the road. You're not proving anything.
I had this one customer who had been in the lesbian lifestyle for years, and she sent me a letter here a while back, and she's out of that now. She told me that not even the lesbians like the Butch Dyke lesbians.
Oh, gosh.
Just thought I'd mention that. So there you go. By the way, Delta Airline is closing down its forecast for 2025, and they're saying that basically the sales of their tickets have gone way down. They're going to be down 2-3% this year. They thought they'd have a 2-3% increase, and now they're finding that, you know, the tariffs are, quote-unquote, which is impossible because it happened too quick. As Delta CEO is saying, Trump tariffs are hurting bookings as airline pulls 2025 forecast. Well, first of all, the tariffs have just started, so there's no way that's affecting bookings.
No way.
That's ridiculous. And, you know, I mean, it's been like a week, and you know, now the tariffs are affecting. No, the problem is that, you know, these airlines have basically become a place where a lot of people don't want to fly them anymore, also because a lot of people think they're unsafe.
That's exactly right.
You know, we got doors flying off airplanes, you know, bolts coming out of airplanes, and your planes catching on fire when they're taking off, and et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people are saying, we don't want to fly anymore, and they're getting scared. Also, there's a Catholic Church was using the Darien Gap to run a whole bunch of, how should you say, through the federal government refugees and migrant aid programs. And now they're shutting all that down because the, you know, the that one little group that, what was that name of the company? It was the, That one they were funding everything through with the federal government, the USAID, said that Musk shut down, that they don't have the money to supply this anymore. And Israel was also doing the same thing through the Darien Gap. I'm not sure if they've shut it down yet or not. But it's just interesting. You kind of watch all this stuff. You kind of think, who these people think they are. And then you see something that you really kind of shake your head at, and you realize that you're right about, and you've been telling people this for years. This is an interesting video. Watch the EU Commission's unelected dictator, Ursula von der Leyen, say that the Jewish Babylonian Talmud lies at the heart of European culture while ignoring the truth that Europe's rise owes everything to Christianity. What? Yeah, this is an interesting article. Because we talked about this so many times, and they're talking about now how she's basically gaslighting everybody, saying that it's all based on basically the Babylonian Talmud, which, by the way, says that Jesus was a demon-possessed sorcerer, that the Virgin Mary was a whore, and that Jesus was never crucified. He died in a vat of sewage. Just thought I'd say that. Plus, it also gives permission to have sex with children all as young as the age of 3. I mean, it's some sick stuff in that Talmud. And then you take the one part of the Talmud, which is the Zohar, and it goes into the details of the ancient Canaanite religions, and it's a how-to primer of witchcraft is what it is. And that's the Zohar that was written in 72 AD after basically the Romans burned a temple, and a couple of these hardcore Kabbalists got into a cave with some type of demon or angel or fallen angel or whatever the heck it was, and wrote the doggone Babylonian, wrote the Zohar in 72 AD, which is a combination of all the ancient myths, religions of Egypt and Babylon, all combined into a how-to primer. Just thought I'd say that. So now she's saying that is the heart of the European culture. I don't know what drugs she's smoking, Austin, but what the heck is she thinking right now? Are they that brainwashed they believe this stuff?
I think they're that brainwashed now, to be honest with you.
Because the reality is, if it wasn't for Christianity spreading throughout from Rome initially through Paul and the writings of Paul and out of the Middle East throughout all of Europe, there would not be Western civilization at this point, period. This is just how it works. And so that's the basis of everything with Western civilization. It was the basis of our Constitution. And the problem is our Constitution is based upon a moral group of people putting it together based on Christianity, based on the Word of God. And if you take the morality back out of it, our Constitution doesn't work very well because it's too easy to manipulate when people don't have a care in the world about lying about everything like we have with our politicians now. It was so funny. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and they said, what in the heck are we thinking having these doggone politicians in for 20, 30, 40 years like Joe Biden? I mean, he says, why don't we have term limits? Now, of course, this guy, he's a Muslim, okay, and he's a nice guy, but he always wants to, he has a Muslim twist on everything, and I told him, I said, well, the biggest problem we have is in Europe is that Angela Merkel, unleashed the hordes. Oh, he thought it was great. She let all the Muslims into Europe. No, he did. Remember, it's a different perspective. If you're Muslim, true. You're happy the Muslims came over there because they would, because of jihad and trying to convert the whole, European continent now to become a Muslim, into Islam. But that was an interesting conversation that I quickly walked away from because I did not want to get into a conflict.
Well, he's not wrong about the doggone term limits, though. The problem is, I've tried to explain to people the reason why a lot of that stuff wasn't put into any aspect of the Bill of Rights or restrictions with Congress and Senate and all that is being in those positions, being in Congress was a burdensome place to be. Nobody wanted
horse and buggy, bud.
Gosh, nobody wanted to serve in Congress. It was something you did for your constituents and represent your area. It was a nightmare. Traveling back and forth. I mean, you
didn't have trains.
You didn't make any kind of money at all. You're constantly in all these arguments all the time, constantly figuring out what to do. After 4 years, they're like, gosh, somebody else take this position.
A week by horse and buggy.
Yeah.
Just get there.
Nightmare. You're like, I'm done. Somebody else take this job. Well, now everybody realized they can just do insider trading and pass all these bills. Oh, and by the way, they can make themselves exempt from any laws that they pass as well.
And make sure they don't have to pay their own Social Security either.
Yeah. And they can exclude themselves from certain things.
And have their own healthcare system.
Yeah. And speaking of that, Trump directs the DOJ now to challenge energy rules that are unconstitutional. This is a huge deal. The new order aims to identify any state laws, regulations, or policies or practices that may be unenforceable. They're looking at here, they instructed the Department of Justice to review state energy rules and regulations. They're saying here now that some of them are unconstitutional. Trump identified oil, natural gas, coal, hydropower, geothermal, biofuel, critical minerals, and nuclear energy resources as domestic energy sectors that are facing unfair impediments to their domestic growth and development. He's absolutely right about this. Along with that, with the EPA, they just get their little sector going with the Chevron doctrine. Exactly. Yep. Oh, we've deemed it so because we're the experts in this, and we deem that this pond now is an EPA restricted area, and you're collecting rainwater in it, and so now it's an environmental hazard, and you can't even own your own property anymore.
And they do stuff like that all the time. And you can't pump water out of it.
Yeah, can't pump water out of it. Now it's a restricted area. And they do stuff like that all the time. They're saying now that many states have or are about to enact burdensome and ideologically motivated climate change or energy policies that threaten American energy dominance. Some states have passed climate regulations that impact reducing investment in fossil fuel. And so they're going in now, especially like California and other states, and they're about to unwind some of this stuff. And, of course, the liberals are going nuts. They're saying, oh, you can't do this. You're gonna ruin the earth. Well, guys, I hate to tell everybody, a lot of these things aren't even realistic expectations at all.
You know, Austin, the thing that makes me angry with this, and that they're all defending China now, is China is so polluted, it's unbelievable.
The liberals are supporting China. China. I saw that the other day. I was like,
I told you this story before. We're on a cruise ship, and we had left, you know, we were going into Beijing or Shanghai or wherever we were. I forgot. We're going into China. And I remember we ran into sea fog about 50 miles offshore.
Yeah.
And they told us to keep the doors closed, the windows closed on the balcony. And I thought, well, why? And finally they said, well, this isn't sea fog. This is pollution rolling off the continent of, you know, Asia, off China. And it's from the smokestacks. And we're like, what? And so we went through like 50 miles of this fog. And then we parked the ship, you know, moored the ship. We moored the ship. And then they told us to take a wet washcloth on shore and breathe through it.
Yeah.
That's what they told us. And so we go to shore and everybody's coughing. Everybody's got chronic hacking coughs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody. I mean, all the people who live there. And then so we get back on the ship, you know, to leave, and the entire ship is covered in ash from the smokestacks. And so these liberals are screaming and yelling because we want to have a wood-burning stove in our house, or we want to have, you know, a fireplace, or we want to actually run propane because we're destroying the planet, or they changed it again last year, by the way, too. The air conditioning guy told me the other day, as far as the type of freon they're using again.
They changed it again?
Yeah, because that way you can't repair old systems.
That's exactly
anymore.
What the whole point of it is. Yes. Everything just keeps getting more and more antiquated and harder and harder.
And I personally believe that the air conditioning companies themselves are lobbying Congress to do this because they want to continue. They don't want to repair old units. They just want to replace them with newer, mostly more expensive units.
The same way the diesel fuel companies and manufacturers and processors push for the DEF. Mm-hmm. They make money on the back end of it with the DEF fluid now.
Oh, by the way, Jamie Dimon actually has said some stuff that was pretty interesting. Now, I don't care for Jamie Dimon, but he's just another one of these weirdos. But he said that he offered a ray of hope on Wednesday as Trump's sweeping tariffs kick in and stocks continue to tumble. Dimon warned the U.S. economy is basically headed for a recession. But then he said, we have the best economy in the world, he told Mornings with Maria Show Fox Business this morning. He says, our GDP per person in the United States is $85,000. That's the GDP, gross domestic product. He said China's is $15,000. So our GDP is like six times as high as China's is. I didn't know that. Wow. So you got to put a little bit of in a context, he explained. But I hope that I'm reading you how he wrote this. All right. It's got to slow it down. But I hope what they really do is let Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, he is a professional, negotiate, get those things done quickly. Don't fuss at me on how they wrote it. If you want to calm down the markets, show progress in those things and let Scott Bessent negotiate. Trade deals are large and complex. Trump offered his own degree of optimism early on Wednesday, declaring, be cool. Everything's going to work out well. The USA will be bigger and better than ever before, he wrote on True Social. This is a great time to buy. I don't agree with that, by the way. I think it's got a lot further to drop, just my personal belief. Yeah. The president wrote in a second post appearing to advise investors to buy stock during the market drop. Despite his upbeat tone, Dimon did warn the risks of prices are rising and the economy may slow down. They put the tariffs in, and it was way beyond what people expected. This will cause a little inflation, slow down growth, he told the program. Earlier this week, Dimon had sounded the alarm ahead of tariffs. In his annual letter to shareholders on Monday, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, 69, wrote that the trade war started by Donald Trump risked driving up prices at American stores, undermining global alliances and slowing economic growth. The warning came after stock market shed trillions of dollars last week. We talked about that in detail yesterday. It did not. It just changed hands. What do you think, Austin, about what Dimon's saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd be very cautious right now on buying up huge amounts of stock. I think we're still in a recorrection phase quite a bit. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in the markets. Don't just be wildly, mindlessly throwing cash into it right now. I'll tell you that right now. There's a lot of weird things that are happening in it, and it's very volatile. So if you're making a decision on it, make sure you do it from an educated position, not just on a random hunch, because there's a lot of strange stuff. Now, this is a good story, positive story. DOJ now repeals the zero-tolerance firearm rule that ATF illegally put into place.
What does that mean, Austin?
This is a huge deal. Attorney General Pam Bondi said the policy has unfairly targeted law-abiding gun owners. So what happened was the Department of Justice said they're repealing the zero-tolerance policy. The Second Amendment advocate said allowed authorities to revoke the license of gun dealers over paperwork errors. So what happened was a few years back, ATF came in, this Chevron doctrine again, and they said, oh, you put a wrong number down on a FFL transfer. It's not a 4, it's a 5. And the dealer goes, I've done 5,000 transfers this year. ATF goes, doesn't matter. You messed up on that one number on that one transfer paperwork. That was an intentional error to defraud and bypass the 1968 Gun Control Act. We're stripping you of your FFL license. Now you're no longer allowed to sell any type of firearms at all in the United States.
They actually did this.
Oh, they've done this multiple times. But it was 4. I put a 5. I apologize.
Scrivener's error.
ATF goes, doesn't matter. Zero tolerance policy. No guns for you, no guns for you, no guns for you. Everybody's banned from guns now in this area. And you go, this is stupid. It was a mistake. ATF and their infinite stupidity, because, you know, ATF operates at the bad ideas factory. They go to the bad ideas factory, and they come out with worse ideas, and they try to implement them. And most of the time, the courts rule against them because they just operate out of sheer stupidity. That's the only thing the ATF does. And so this, again, is another prime example of ATF run amok with moronic behavior and trying to enforce stupidity on the American population by saying, hey, it was a clerical error. You put a 5 instead of a 4. Let's fix it and get past it. ATF now is basically barred from doing this anymore with the zero-tolerance policy. Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice has completely revoked ATF's ability to do this now. And good riddance from them. Said 2022 APP revised the language to reflect zero-tolerance approach. ATF will revoke all federal firearm license absent extraordinary circumstances on initial violations. This is what they put into place. This is ATF again going in and rewriting their own laws. Doesn't matter what it said in 1968. ATF rewrites its own laws because they deem it so. Chevron doctrine, run amok. Good riddance to these clowns. DOJ got rid of this now.
Well, you know, the thing that's really ridiculous with the ATF is the entrapment they do. They set up websites selling illegal stuff to collect names to go arrest
all
people. And you know, you think about it for a second. Talk about pure entrapment. They're selling stuff off of websites.
It's completely illegal.
It's completely illegal.
You get law-abiding citizens that may not understand the law or know certain aspects of the law, and they're being sloppy. They haven't looked the stuff up, and they go to purchase something stupid online. All of a sudden, the ATF shows up at their house and goes, you purchased this. We have documentation of it. Now, if you give it to us, we'll let it go. Well, the problem is I've read this literally happening. A guy happened in St. Cloud with a Scorpion pistol that he put a pistol that he put a stock on instead of a pistol brace. They got an agent to go in, a confidential informant, and record photos on their phone and come back. And they arrested him for possession of a short-barreled rifle. He got like 3 years in prison on this. For nothing. He didn't rob a bank. He didn't commit a crime. He didn't shoot a person. He didn't try to do anything unlawful. He put a brace and he took it off and he put a stock on. And ATF came in and entrapped him on it. This is, again, ATF trying to justify its own existence and what they do on a regular basis.
I remember I heard about the one guy. He basically had ordered something offline. And then they show up and they say, we have a record that you received this. First, never got it. You know?
No.
And then the person asks him, well, what happened to the guy I bought it from? Oh, he's dead. We killed him.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, okay, so there's no going back to that person because ATF killed him in a raid.
Allegedly,
which I don't think any of it was true.
No.
By the way, gold, Deutsche Bank cites a risk to U.S. dollars reserve status, ups its targets rate to 3,350 on gold.
Woo!
Yep, this was happening. Bank discusses the dollarization, not just an obvious trend, but as a permanent one. Special observations are made of the underreported gold demand by central banks, what is being stated, and Deutsche Bank now is asking the United States Federal Reserve to return its gold reserves, in which they have over 1,000 tons of gold right now in the New York Fed, and they want their gold back. In fact, it says this, Germany may look to withdraw which I can guarantee you the gold is not there anymore. It's been probably set to the banks in England. Germany may look to withdraw its gold from the United States. Germany looks to repatriate a vast amount of gold in current stores in New York amid concerns over U.S. President Donald Trump's unpredictable tariff policies. Remember, if you watched the video on 9/11 called Loose Change, they talk about the gold vaults underneath the trade towers that were emptied before 9/11 happened.
Yep.
Just mention that to you guys. The UK-based paper says a number of senior figures within the Christian Democratic Union Party was slated to have Germany wants their gold back. Currently, Germany has the second largest gold reserves at 3,350 tons, only behind the United States at 8,100 tons, which I don't believe. Germany's appetite for gold has been well documented due to its turbulent history. Following the defeat in World War II, the country's bullion vaults were essentially emptied. But post-World War economic boom gave the financial means to begin stockpiling gold again. And now they want a big chunk of their gold back from the United States of America. They don't realize how dangerous it is because Chavez did the same thing in Venezuela. Suddenly he came down with a turbo cancer, and suddenly he was dead. You think, well, you think they'll do that again? You think they'll come down with some? There's no telling. Because when it seems like whenever you ask these Luciferian Kabbalah Synagogue of Satan boys, Austin, to have your gold back, people kind of say, well, we don't think we're going to do that right now. Germany has over $109 billion worth of gold in the New York Federal Reserve's vault. Isn't that crazy? There's a lot of money. I don't know why in the world they would trust us like that. Jaeger said that at a minimum, Germany should at least be able to physically inspect the gold bars. They're saying they can't even come look at them.
Nope.
You can't do it.
Can't look at gold.
Jaeger says they should be able to check them. European Member of Parliament Marcus Ferber echoes Jaeger's settlements, telling Bild, "I demand regular checks of Germany's gold reserves. Official representations of the Bundesbank must personally count the bars and document their results." In other words, what they probably want to do over there is go over there and do a little bit of acid testing.
That's exactly right.
Let's make sure this isn't a lead bar coated, plated in gold. You can't tell the difference. If it's lead, it's plated in gold. It looks just like a gold, and it's still heavy too.
Yep.
Okay, but suddenly, instead of being worth, if 70 pounds of gold, which is worth millions of dollars, it's worth a few hundred dollars. Okay, there's a big difference. And a lot of times they do that. And that's why a lot of these big bullion exchange companies, they will drill them, Austin. They will take a small drill and it'll take a core sample, and they'll put the gold back into the core sample when they get done with it. And they will test the bar to make sure it's okay because it's millions of dollars, and they want to make sure they're getting what they're paying for.
That's exactly right.
So anyhow, so Germany might want to do that. And by the way, remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about how they were going to go in and audit the Federal Reserve and the banks and Fort Knox?
Fort Knox.
Yeah. That's about like the Jeffrey Epstein list, isn't it?
I was about to say, Jeffrey Epstein list, Fort Knox audit. I haven't heard much about that.
Neither one of those anymore. Nobody gets to talk about that. You can't talk about auditing the gold at Fort Knox. No way.
Well, Elon Musk did for about a week.
Well, yeah, but
then it just stopped.
And then suddenly they say that Elon Musk is going to get fired now from Trump.
Yeah.
After he starts talking about the gold at Fort Knox. Imagine that. Somebody rattled the wrong cage at the wrong time in the wrong place. By the way, good news, homeschooling is on the rise globally, though it's still illegal in Germany. They got to make sure they indoctrinate the children in Germany. Once considered the exception rather than the rule, more parents are choosing to homeschool education over public schools as the best path for their children. A recent Illinois initiative, however, would compel registration of parents who teach their children outside of the government's oversight, revealing the popularity of what has become a parental movement across the U.S. and in the world's most developed countries. So I'm really happy to see this. Now, I'm going to say one thing because I homeschool four kids. This is really important. If you're going to homeschool your children, you have to socialize the children. I'm telling you, I'm not talking about letting them play with their brothers and sisters. They've got to have outside influence in their lives from other kids that are also being homeschooled. Put them in karate. Put them in sports. Put them in band. Do something with them so they can get out into the real world and learn how to interact with other children rather than just being there with your family all the time and not knowing how to get along with other kids. Really, really, really important. Austin, what do you think?
That's a huge factor. I mean, the whole thing about it is there's a huge uptick in homeschooling, and there's a lot of different homeschool co-ops and different platforms you can do now because there's so many families who get involved in it. And that's one of the cool things you can do now is a lot of places are having schools where the kids are going in. They're actually going to school every day or once a week or a couple times a week, and they're doing homeschool co-ops with teachers and actually getting real true education, not this indoctrination nonsense that essentially they've been trying to push now in the public school system forever. But I just pulled this up. This is the latest article I can find on this, and it says Elon Musk says Fort Knox gold reserve should be live streamed. This is on April 2nd, There's been nothing else after this.
Nope.
Well, again, he talked about it, how America needs to see their gold. And it's funny, right after this article came out is when they started talking about getting rid of him out of Doge.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, he touched the sacred cow.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something. Now, I don't know if this is true. I don't have any idea if this is true. It probably is not true. But I'm going to say it anyhow. I was talking to Bill Deagle one time. He's passed away now. And he told me, he said that the gold was used for interdimensional conduits and wormholes to be set up on these.
Like fuel?
Mm-hmm. And he said he said that was what it was being used for, because it was as precious to these entities as it was to us. Now, I don't know how Bill would have that kind of information, so it's probably not true. Probably something he had, conjured up or whatever. I don't know. But he was very, very smart. And so I find this fascinating, Austin, that the gold is supposedly there, but it's not there. And if it's not there, where is it?
Well, it says there's supposed to be 147 million troy ounces, which an estimated value right now would be about $500 billion, about $459 billion in gold.
Well, that's insignificant to the economy of the United States, though.
Yes, half a trillion.
It's nothing.
But the thing about it is, though, let's say it says overall the U.S. Treasury has nearly 261 million troy ounces of gold. So essentially they're saying almost double of what's in the Fort Knox. But nobody's been able to audit that.
No, thing, this is, we're talking like 50,
well,
60 years.
Do you think, though, maybe it's just they want to keep really tight security in Fort Knox?
I mean, no, what happened before Nixon took us off the gold standard,
yep,
a lot of countries were demanding their gold. They'd have the dollars that were redeemable in gold.
Right.
They're demanding that gold be sent to them rather than the dollars. And that's why Nixon said no more. And then, so he said, that's when they took it off the market, so you couldn't buy or sell it any longer. And because I believe that they had pretty much emptied out that Fort Knox bullion repository with that. And that's why Nixon put the stop to it. But then we ended up with a fiat currency wasn't backed by anything. And here we are later, with the dollar losing 97% of its value.
Yeah.
So here we have it. So I personally don't believe that there's that much gold in Fort Knox. I personally don't believe that Germany's getting their gold back. And I personally don't believe that they're ever going to let us know the truth about what happened to all the gold in Fort Knox, because what it would do is create incredible financial instability in the markets, and gold would go through the roof,
skyrocket.
It'd be 20,000. It'd be 20,000 an ounce immediately. Dude. By the way, guest blows Joe Rogan's away with a terrifying transhuman warning. This is interesting. It said biotech entrepreneur Ben Lamb painted a bone-chilling picture of where humanity could be headed. Gene editing was at the heart of the conversation, and according to Lamb, China isn't experimenting, but they're already doing it with genetically modified children. This is interesting. He pointed out, and now in the infamous case of 2018, where Chinese scientist He Jiahu announced that he cloned human embryos and edited their genes using CRISPR to make them resistant to HIV. And now what they're saying is they're coming in and doing the same thing in China, and they're causing them to have super high IQs.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're making super children. They're building super soldiers over there. And, and I've heard about this for years and years, but this guy's come out now and told Joe Rogan that this is true on his show. So I found that was very, very fascinating that this would be out there. And I have to give Joe Rogan credit. He basically is coming in now and covering a lot of stuff on his show that we've talked about on this show for years.
He is actually starting to cover some wild stuff.
Because what's happened is he's starting to realize that, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about is very, very true. And as long as he doesn't touch the sacred cow in the Middle East, he's okay. Just thought I'd mention that. You guys can fill in the blanks on all that.
Yeah. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. Common cooking oils like soybean oil and also canola oil are linked to breast cancer growth now.
Of course it is.
They're showing they're connecting these high omega-6 fatty acids to aggressive breast cancer progression. And they're saying it's not just the omega-6 fats itself. It's the amount that's being consumed now as well, because the body can handle some omega-6 fats. The body can handle some toxins. But when you start getting these enormous amounts pumped in on a regular basis, they said they're linked to faster growth of one of the most aggressive and difficult to treat forms of breast cancer. Using an animal model, researchers discovered that the high linoleic acid consumption, high amounts, high doses basically of omega-6 fats, activated critical growth pathways in cancer cells, explaining why this particular cancer subtype is becoming so prevalent overall breast cancer rates. This is interesting. I'm going to post this article on the website. You guys can look at it. And this is why I tell you guys the biggest thing to stay away is from soybean oil and canola oil.
Corn oil.
There's corn oil. I mean, I've used peanut oil before. They've used on some of that stuff. There's some small amounts of stuff. Like I know, I think sunflower oil, that's what we derive because we have non-GMO sunflower oils where we get our vitamin E from. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most effective ways to get vitamin E derived from a non-GMO source without making the cost go through the roof. So there's a few factors of certain oils you can get when you're deriving certain things out of them, like a vitamin E or something like that. But just using straight omega-6 fats like canola oil and soybean oil in food, it's really not a healthy.
Well, canola oil is from the rapeseed plant. It's a super toxic weed, right, is what it is. It makes real pretty yellow flowers, though.
Yeah.
And it's a lubricating oil primarily. It's supposed to be like for machine lubrication, like WD-40, yep, or something like that. It wasn't made for human consumption because it was toxic. It was poisonous.
Yep.
And so they had to change it to get the poison stuff out of it. And they said they'd start feeding it to us. And, you know, in canola oil, that's where it came from. Canadian oil is where that's where it's derived from. And it's rapeseed plants. And you see it in Europe all over the place. You see these yellow, beautiful flowers everywhere. And they're using it over there in a lot of different industry purposes. And also makes shellacs and varnishes. But definitely eating and stuff, it's horrible. By the way, RFK says that he will now tell the CDC to stop recommending fluoride in municipal water.
There you
finally
go. About time.
Finally. And Health and Human Services Director RFK announced on April the 7th he will tell the Centers for Disease Control to stop recommending fluoridation in municipal waters nationwide. Kennedy has also said the HHS will reconvene the Community Preventive Services Task Force, an independent panel composed of public health and prevention experts, to study and make new recommendations on fluoride. I don't know why he would do that. This stuff is so poisonous, there's no reason to do this. He's probably just doing this to cover his own bottom here. Kennedy disclosed the plans to the Associated Press on Monday during an event in Salt Lake City, where he was joined by Environmental Protection Agency EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin as part of the Make America Healthy Again tour. The EPA said April 7th, reviewing new scientific information on potential health risks of fluoride. It's so stupid. They know exactly how poisonous it is. It's rat poison. The agency has the authority to set a maximum of fluoridation in public water systems. Kennedy's outspoken opponent of fluoride in water, calling it an industrial waste and dangerous neurotoxin. It is on the presidential trail last year. Last month, Utah became the first state to prevent fluoride in public drinking water when the Republican governor, Spencer Cox, signed the legislation. Water systems and communities across the state must stop adding the mineral by May the 7th. What's interesting about this, they put mineral down. It's a toxin. This is hydrofluorosilicic acid, okay? This isn't a mineral. This is a poison. And the crazy part about it is extremely corrosive, Austin.
Yeah, it is.
And it really will eat into pipes. And it's a bad product, especially when you have lead pipes that have been lead soldered 100 years ago, and you put acid into the water supply. I was on a cruise ship years ago. And we had basically gone into the ship, and we brought a Brita filter with us just to get rid of the chlorine out of the water. And I had spoken to the pack captain before, and I asked him, do you guys put fluoride in the water supply in the ship? He said, never. He said, we will never put hydrofluorosilicic acid into the water supply because it corrodes the pipes in the ship. And these pipes are in between the walls and the ceilings and the floors, yeah, and they're too difficult to access. He said, we don't do that. We will not put acid in. We will put chlorine in there to make sure it comes out with no bacteria in it. And I said, okay, good. So all I have to do then, I thought to myself, is just take a Brita filter or a charcoal filter on a cruise ship instead of dragging bottled water with me. Because I used to take, you know, 20, 30 gallons of bottled water, because on a cruise ship, you're trapped. You got to buy their junk. Otherwise, if you don't drink water. And so you have to buy their bottled water or else you drink the chlorine. So that's what we started doing with the Brita filter, and it worked great. But the reality is that, you know, even the cruise ships don't want to put this in there. Now, Kennedy has come out and done one other thing now, and I'm sure it's from public pressure because of the couple of kids that have died from the measles vaccine. He's saying that the MMR shot is the most effective way to prevent measles. Now let me stop for 1 second here. Number one, measles. I've had measles. It was uncomfortable, but it wasn't a big deal. But if you have proper nutrition, proper medical care when you have measles, it's pretty easy. It takes a couple of days. So what he's saying now, listen to his words. He's saying the MMR shot is the easiest way to prevent measles. He's right. A vaccine is the easiest, yes, way. Okay. The problem is mumps, rubella, and measles all piled into one, which causes a big link in autism.
Measles, mumps, rubella. And the thing is, you can't get a measles shot by itself anymore.
No. So what he's trying to do here, he's basically deflecting. That's what he's doing here. And he's trying to avoid having a big conflict here again nationwide. Like, oh, you're letting these children die of measles.
Well, that's
your
exactly
fault.
Right. Okay? Well, you notice how as soon as he got selected to be in that position, we have this measles outbreak suddenly out of nowhere, just as soon as he gets in position.
And so what he's doing is deflecting. I don't think he's turned on us. I really don't. I believe he knows the truth. In fact, I know that he does. The reality is he's playing politics right now because he doesn't want to lose his position,
yep,
because Trump's got a guillotine going right now.
He does.
He's got the guillotine going. I mean, he's getting rid of a lot of people really fast already in his administration. And Kennedy doesn't want to have to be lopped off. And so he's basically stepping back and saying, okay, and his statement is true, okay? The MMR shot is the most effective way to prevent measles. It is also one of the most efficient ways to cause autism.
Yeah.
Okay? He didn't say it wouldn't cause autism, but it is an effective way to prevent measles. No, it is.
It does.
The problem is you get too many shots too fast. Personally, I don't think you'd have to even have that MMR shot probably for the first 36 months. Quite frankly, I would never take that anyhow because I'd want to have an individual measles vaccine. I've never been opposed to vaccines if they're clean. The problem are the adjuvants,
exactly,
and they
right.
stack them all together. You know, if they have a measles vaccine, it's just the measles.
Or a singular tetanus vaccine.
Or singular
why do you have
tetanus
to get a DTaP? Why can't you just get tetanus?
No, because they want to put all that poison
exactly.
in you. They make more money from the manufacturers. And when they have no liability exposure because of the Vaccine Act, they can make whatever they want. And so he's trying to basically keep both sides of the aisle happy. He didn't say that it didn't cause the MMR didn't cause autism. He's saying it's the most effective way to prevent measles.
Yep.
And from that standpoint, he is right. But you know, but it's not the only way to do it. A regular shot would do it, or you could let the child go through the measles, and it's not worth the risk of autism to me, Austin. It's just not worth it.
Well, that's why I've told a lot of people, if they really are concerned about it and they decide they want to go and get these shots at some point in time, try to do them on a singular level if that's your choice, and try to spread them out at an older age. This whole concept of giving them 6, 7, 8 vaccines at 6 months old, 8 months old, 12
18 months old, yeah.
It makes no sense at all from a scientific or physiological standpoint at all. It doesn't make any sense. And so if you're doing that, look at the age, look at the development, look at what you really want to do. Again, like I said, I don't tell anybody what to do with their kids, but do your own research and decide how you're going to do them. So I know a lot of families that stagger them out. They've done that. They pick certain ones and they only do them.
But let me tell you, the people that are the most diametrically opposed to vaccines, this is a subgroup.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the subgroup that denied the fact that they could cause autism.
Yeah.
And then they inject these children, and they come down with autism.
Yeah.
And then they go in, and they start doing the research, and they realize that the alternative health people are telling the truth, that this is what caused the autism. Okay, so they're definitely a large contributing factor.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they become adamant and diametrically opposed to any more vaccines for any of their children after one of them already comes down.
That is true.
Now you have another subgroup. They'll have a child, 18 months old, boom, gets the MMR shot, comes down with autism.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want to believe that they caused the autism by giving them the MMR shot. So the next child rolls out, 18 months, he gets the MMR shot. Boom, he gets autism. I've seen that too. Multiple children in one family with autism, all after the 18-month MMR shot. You think, well, this is crazy. Well, yeah, it is. At that point, though, they become anti-vaccine.
Yeah.
And I've never seen one that was still pro-vaccine after that. So be very, very careful with your kids. It's like I told Austin when he's going to the Marine Corps when he's 18 or 19 years old. He graduated college at 19, by the way. We had a bachelor's degree, and Obama had won. And I told Austin, I said, now you can go in as an officer and not have to basically get the vaccines. They'll let you bypass that, but you can't ever go into a boat. You can never be deployed. You'd be stuck stateside. But the reality, I said, I've kept you safe from this stuff all of these years, but if you want to do this, this is now on you, not on me. So that's how I see it. Let the kid make their own choice. If they want to do it, I had another friend of mine who was a pastor, and he had a boy who went out to a college out there in Tulsa, and he was basically, the boy was an idiot, to be honest with you, and he had never been vaccinated. He went out there and took all of his vaccines when he was like 18 years of age to consternation of his father, who was so upset that he had done this. And then his father, he had a child. He wanted me to send this boy information on vaccines, and I sent him 300 articles. And I'm not joking. This is not hyperbole. I sent a link to an article, 300 articles on this. And he basically, after a week, called me back and said, can you send me some more articles? I said, you haven't read the 300 yet.
Yeah.
There's no way. I said, you're not going to listen to me. You're not going to listen to anybody else. Your wife's making these decisions for you, and you're allowing her to do it because she doesn't have the information that you have from what your father had given you and protecting you all these years. And sure enough, he got the child vaccinated. Now, apparently, after he read enough of the articles I sent, he didn't do the entire vaccine schedule. So I don't know what he's doing right now. I haven't spoken to this group of people in about 7, 8 years, and good riddance as far as I'm concerned. But it's just part of what life is. And it's a sad way to have to learn the fact that your child has autism now. And I could tell you another story, but I'm not going to do that this morning. Well, Austin, what's your next story?
This is another health story. It says a diet rich in healthy fats, omega-3s, may slow prostate cancer growth in a new study.
I believe that.
Researchers find that a diet high in omega-3s and fish oil may benefit men with prostate cancer who are under active surveillance. And if this research is showing that, then it's also going to show that omega-3 fats is going to reduce inflammation even in healthy prostate without cancer. That's pretty much what it ties into here. It says the double-blind study published in the Journal Clinical Oncology involved 100 men living with low-risk or favorable intermediate-risk prostate cancer. And they said that they chose closely to monitor the cancer rather than undergo immediate treatment, such as radiation or surgery, like you talked about before. And it goes into detail. Participants were randomly assigned to continue the regular diet or follow a high omega-3 diet supplemented with fish oil. Research then tracked the changes to the levels of the biomarkers called the Ki-67 index, which indicates how fast cancer cells multiply. And it showed the study found that the group adhering to the low omega-6, high omega-3 diet supplementing with fish oil had a 15% decrease in the Ki-67 index, meaning the cancer rate went down. In contrast, the control group exhibited a 24% increase in the cancer score.
Black seed oil, B-L-A-C-K, is phenomenal for inflamed prostates. It helps maintain a healthy prostate. That's all I'm going to say. It helps maintain a healthy prostate. Black seed oil, 1 tablespoon, 3 times a day. Plus, I really like our 3 prostate products are all different that we have at the office. What I recommend people, if they have a problem with prostate, as far as not being as healthy as they wanted to, be curious. See how I'm saying this. I recommend they start on all 3 of those products at once and see if they can get some relief. It should happen within 7 days. And then what they do, they can do, they can titrate the dosing down to find out which particular formula works best for them. Just saying. I've seen that work so many times to maintain healthy prostates. Very important. By the way, a Florida sting operation has found a heinous international child sex ring with over 1 million videos. I kid you not. Yes, and this is some sick stuff. And this is why yesterday when we were talking about wearing that specific watch, I forgot which watch it was.
Yeah, it's from T-Mobile. It was their tracking device for kids.
It starts showing the location of all of these children and other people's children.
Other people's children, yeah.
When we start talking about 1 million people, 1 million videos, this is some pretty sick stuff. And, you know, in Ocala, they used to have that Men with Boys Association, MAMBA or whatever it was. It was a perverted group. And they basically are really one of the big child sex traffickers in the world. And so it's a real perversion they've got. And I'm glad they found this group here in Florida. And I really hope they prosecute them to the full extent of the law. I really do. This is horrible what they've done to these kids and posting all these videos like
this. Wood chipper, maybe.
Oh, yeah. This is sick stuff.
Those guys are complete and total perverts. Pedos, wood chipper, those two things can go together very well. Anyways, in other news, lighter news, self-censoring your thoughts may also be changing your behavior. Talked about this in detail. It's what the government likes to do with their self-censorship or forcing you to self-censor. Said people with viewpoints in the minority tend to self-silence their thoughts, and it can lead to effects on one's well-being. The study highlights a common issue. Those holding minority views often engage in self-silencing during group discussions. This behavior hinders open conversation and leads people to behave in a way that contradicts their values. Mental health experts warn that this pattern of self-silencing can have serious long-term effects on one's well-being. They did this a 250-student survey on their opinions. And this is something that the propaganda machine, known as the federal government, the deep state, and the mainstream media, has done a great job at this from psychological warfare and trying to get people to self-censor, self-silence, where they put so much derogatory information out about a specific topic. If you now say anything about that topic, you're extricated. Can't say anything. You're banned. Can't talk. You talk about this topic? No. They did it during COVID very well. And what they're saying now here is the more research shows is that the more people self-censor, the more mental problems they have. And people need to speak their mind and actually do their own research.
A dissociation disorder.
Yeah.
They basically put it in a box, put it on a shelf, pretend like it didn't happen.
You can do that for a little bit.
Yeah.
Can't do that forever.
Sooner or later, all the stuff starts to – all these boxes start popping open on you. Yep. You don't know how to sort the information anymore. By the way, U.S. peanut allergy epidemic sprang from experts' exactly wrong guidance. Now, this is a pure obfuscation story. I'm going to read this to you. This basically lies. And they're talking about how during the pandemic, they started telling people not to go out to eat. They started telling them to eat like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, et cetera, like that for their kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's causing peanut allergies. No, it's not. Now, I will say this. Up to the age of 7, it's very difficult for children to digest nut butters. And I'm talking about peanuts, almonds, anything like that. It's difficult. And I know, Dr. Kerry Reams, I remember some of his teaching that I read back in the 80s, said that children should avoid nut butters all the way from about 7 or 8 years of age. Yeah, and we did that with you when you were young. Just try to avoid that. There's other things they can eat that are better for them. But it's not causing massive amounts of peanut allergies. What's causing massive amounts of peanut allergies is they use peanut oil as an adjuvant in vaccines.
That's right.
Are you listening to me, friends? they put peanut oil, because it causes such a massive inflammation at the injection site, into the vaccines. And it also gives you a lifelong allergy to peanuts. So that's what's happening with the unit peanut allergy epidemic sprang from. It's from the vaccines. It has nothing to do with kids eating peanuts. They may not digest them very well, but they're not going to get allergy from the peanuts in most cases if they eat them when they're younger. But when you inject it directly into the bloodstream, it will, your body will start producing antibodies against it, and then you can have an allergy against it. I know when you walk into Five Guys, which I haven't eaten there about a month now, by the way, when you walk into Five Guys, you know, they've got peanuts everywhere, and they got a big sign on the door, peanuts.
Peanuts everywhere.
And they use peanut oil for their fries.
Correct.
And I must admit, their fries taste pretty good.
Yeah, I don't eat fries, but Five Guys fries.
Well, I've tasted one.
I've eaten them. I'm not going to lie, I've eaten them before. No. I don't recommend them, but they're good.
But
I think peanut oil is better for you than canola oil is.
But here they say, in the 80s, peanut allergies are almost entirely unheard of. Okay. Today, the United States has one of the highest peanut allergy rates in the world because of vaccines. Disturbingly, this epidemic was precipitated by institutions that exist to promote public health. And remember, they said in the 80s it wasn't like this, and suddenly it's like that. No, it's been growing exponentially, well, geometrically, since they started putting this peanut oil in. The story of their malpractice illuminates the fallibility of respected institutions, that the public health catastrophically incorrect guidance during the COVID-19 pandemic was an isolated anomaly. Wait a minute. They're trying to tell us because of the COVID vaccines, or not the COVID, the COVID problem that we have, that these children now have peanut allergies? I mean, unbelievable. You know, I'm going to let you read this. You know, it says parents should avoid feeding any peanut butter to children under 3 years of age. That's true. That's a fact. Under the age of 7, I say. They also know the ability to determine which infants are the higher risk ones. And was the base of the pronounced announcement, the organization was simply parroting guidance that the UK Department of Health had put forth in 1998. So, because again, don't be giving children, and they have to show a picture of Fauci right here. God,
of course they do.
Man, like a rat. And I'm just trying to say to this, you know, you don't need to be giving children nut butters up under the age of 7. Period. It's healthier for the kids. Give them fruits and vegetables. You know, give them some organic chicken.
Eggs.
Give them breast milk for the first 2 years.
Well, they've shown. I brought up the study. It was about 6 months ago. Is it just one whole egg a day for a child increases their actual IQ points as they continue to grow and get older?
Well, yeah.
It's that effect. Just one egg a day. Now, if they'll eat more. But eggs are really, really good for kids.
That must be why you're so smart.
Could be.
I remember one time he was 8 years old.
He
was 8 years old. We were skiing out in Breckenridge. And this is way, way, way back. I used to
way ski. Way back.
And I remember he said, "I'm going to ski all day, Daddy. I want a dozen eggs."
Yep.
Remember that?
Whole rack.
And I looked at you. I laughed. And I said, "All right, I'll give you a dozen."
Yeah.
And I cooked a dozen eggs up. He ate about 8 of them.
I choked him down pretty good. There's a little bit left on. I was like, "Oh, and a lot of fat."
I said, "That's all right, dude. That's all right, Austin. I'll finish it for you." But it was so funny. I wanted him to see how many a dozen eggs was, because you were watching that one movie with Gaston.
Yep.
Every day, 3 dozen eggs in order to get large. Remember that?
Back when Disney actually had some wild movies.
Yeah, they had some pretty good stuff.
Now they got garbage.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I brought up yesterday, too, the article. And I'm putting an article. I'm having Harrison write one up on the website, The Benefits of Blending Collagen and Whey Protein Together. That's another really good protein shake mix. You can also put together for young kids. Putting a protein shake together with some bananas in it, some whey protein, some collagen, put it together, some ice. Tastes great. Great little shake during the day, especially if they're outside playing and you're trying to get them aside to eat, which is always fun. They don't want to come inside to eat. Drink a chocolate shake, and they're like, "Oh, yeah." They chug it down. It's really good for young kids as they grow, because remember, their bodies are growing much, much faster.
Get a Vitamix, get some organic bananas, freeze them, throw them in there. It tastes great.
Tastes great.
It really does.
It's really healthy for them, especially when you mix the two together, especially with the collagen. Mm-hmm. They're finding out more and more collagen, even in young kids, really helps with overall growth and development of soft tissue.
Well, yeah, I've seen so many kids, they get basically stunted because they're not eating properly at home. And then they go off to college. And they basically give it balanced meals in some cases, and they start growing
they
in college.
Up. Yeah.
I knew a guy, his name was Kim, and he was basically an alcohol fetal syndrome kid. I felt bad for him. He was real small, about 5'5" in high school. He went off to college, started eating right, ended up being about 6'1".
Yeah.
I've seen every treat. Your body has to have nutrients.
So you guys need anything, you know to get a hold of us. Team Health Masters, be sure to check out the specials that we have on there, the special product discounts, including the 3-pack on the Ultra Extreme Stress Relief Kit, the GHI Cleanse, and the Ultimate Morning Energy Kit. That's the Fit Food and the Purple Sticks. Great kit.
I had that this morning,
by the way. I had it every morning.
So pretty much. I've gotten used to it now. By the way, I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Pray for you again. Remember, Jesus He's the answer for everything. Always remember that. I love you guys. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Anything else to say?
That was a fantastic evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.